broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I called him back immediately and apologized for using a word that he found offensive.
Yeah, it's not a setup. Just got done with practice.
You and the Dobbs Group have relied on the labor of exploited...
All she said was, how could you desecrate my lord?
I watched the basketball game last night.
You are so hot.
Famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Or every night, truth is our bitch, and we go through the looking glass to find that. We go places other talk shows can't go. They may want to go, they may talk about going there, they may, and eventually they do go someplace, but not where we go. Anyway, welcome to our program. Again, our number 877-876-PHIL, and also our website, philhendryshow.com, where we will make available to you very shortly our merchandise store. And we were going to unveil the first items in our merchandise store will be our classic Best of Phil Hendry Show CDs from days of yore. So stick around for that and get your fill of all kinds of downloads, all kinds of podcasts, all kinds of archives, and including our daily videocast every night here at on our show. So you can watch the show as well as listen to it at philhendryshow.com. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Later on tonight, we have Pastor William Renick joining us to talk about what I think is a shocking story. It's the Brett Favre story. If you haven't heard, stick around. I'll give you a little taste. It is alleged that Brett Favre sent lewd pictures of himself to a reporter. It's being reported on Deadspin.com, and apparently they do have voicemail messages from Brett Favre to this woman, and apparently they have a video which shows some of these photographs. So we're going to talk about that with Pastor Renick. We're going to start out tonight. I guess we have sort of a morality play thing going on here this evening. Starting out tonight, talking with Margaret Gray from A Little Bird Told Me. She writes for the Dicklin Syndicate, and we're going to be talking with her. We got Margaret online, too. Talking with her here about Elliot Spitzer and the fallout, Margaret, from Elliot Spitzer and Kathleen Parker's new show. And we've heard all of the comments and we've heard all of the critiques. And what did you think?
Well, I think, Phil, it was a very good first effort. I don't think that anyone comes out of the box and becomes Walter Cronkite or Bernard Shaw, who I know, Phil, you were a fan of, or... whoever it is that you think is a great news commentator as well as reporter. I don't think anyone comes out of the box setting any kind of record that way. I think it was a very good first effort. I really do. And that's based on many, many years in the news business. I think Elliot Spitzer has taken an awful lot of heat. We all know the story by now. We all know what he went through. In his effort to legitimize, to take to another level, the efforts by many people in this country to, you know, sort of get rid of the morality police. Let's talk about legalizing activities that are victimless, legalizing activities which are adult in nature. And, of course, we're talking specifically in this instance about prostitution, which Elliot Spitzer is... really, Phil, a martyr to the cause of legalizing prostitution.
Well, he lost his job as governor. He lost his job as the representative of the people. Many people, though, feel, when you say he's a martyr to this issue, many people feel betrayed.
Well, I think many people need to have their eyes open, and that's exactly what happens when you step out and you say, this is wrong, I believe that it can be better. You're going to get an awful lot of criticism. That's exactly what happened to Governor Spitzer. He stepped out. He said, this is wrong. We should have a civilized society. We can have a society of morality and a society of decency. And at the same time, if adults, grown adults, who make this decision on their own to patronize a house of prostitution, why should we arrest him? For that, he lost his job. And that's what happens, Phil, I think, to very brave people. So I am very happy to see Elliot Spitzer back with this new venture. I am very encouraged to see that at least at CNN, they're willing to give a man who lost everything because he believed in certain principles, and that they're willing to give him this job.
And well, I want to get to your comments here in a minute, but did you mention in your column Kristen Davis was the woman?
Yes, I did.
All right, Kristen Davis, I believe, was the prostitute who ran the house of, the bordello, the brothel. She's the woman who was the head of this call girl ring that was busted by the Federals in 2008, and she had some comments that she made to Radar Online. She said that Spitzer was boring. She said he looked like a gremlin. She said that the girls said to her that he was boring in bed, and so on and so forth. And you said that that is, you said that that was untenable.
It is immoral. Well, first of all, I think that for this whore, and let's talk about what it is that she does illegally for a living. Elliot Spitzer paid with his career because he stood on principle. Now, this is the part I think is so amazing, Phil, that Elliot Spitzer, people are criticizing him because he's gotten a second chance at campaigning on these issues that he believes in, the legalization of prostitution, the liberalizing of social mores and social issues. I think it takes gall to be an individual engaged in an illegal act such as prostitution. You are a whore. And you're commenting on one of your former clients, a customer of yours, that paid you money. You're calling him boring, you're calling him a gremlin, and you're commenting publicly on his sexual prowess or performance as if prostitutes care about whether or not a man performs with them in bed. We all know the prostitute has one thing and one thing only in her mind, and that is to be paid and get that man out of her bed as fast as she decently can. And for this whore to make the comments that she did, I think it's immoral. It's hypocrisy of a record-breaking nature. And, I sent an email off to Elliot Spitzer today, Phil. I said, hang in there. There are people who believe in you, and there are people who thank you for the efforts that you have made on behalf of this whore, so that she's no longer a whore, so that she's a legitimate businesswoman.
I was going to say, you call her a whore, even though you're claiming that Elliot Spitzer was trying to get prostitution legalized when he was arrested for prostitution.
Well, I'm not making the claim that, and here is the interesting part. He's trying to legitimize this business that she's in, and she is calling him names, calling him a gremlin, and talking about what a bad lover he is.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-PHIL. Tonight we have Margaret Gray on the line from the Dicklin Syndicate and her nationally syndicated column, A Little Bird Told Me, as we talk about Elliot Spitzer, not just the TV show, but where Margaret's on to talk about what she sees as Elliot Spitzer being a martyr, a sacrificial lamb to the cause of legalizing prostitution in America, that he gave up his career, gave up his future, really, in politics, so that we could move a step closer to legalized prostitution. And what he gets in return is this kind of criticism, especially coming from Kristen Davis. I want to explore, Margaret, with you, the notion that Elliot Spitzer is a martyr to the legalization of prostitution. If my memory serves me, the man was arrested.
Of course he was arrested. Let me explain, if I could, Phil, because I know you're confused, and some people may be. Yes, he was arrested. And when he was arrested because he was frequenting this whore, and I'm sorry, that's exactly what I'm going to call her, this Davis, her call girl ring. The reason why he was doing that is because he believes that prostitution should be legal. He was out there engaged in an act of civil disobedience that is not, and I know a lot of people are going to laugh, but it really isn't unlike what Martin Luther King did. It's not unlike what people who block abortion clinics are engaged in. It's not unlike what many people who were opposed to the Iraq War did. It's civil disobedience.
Well, you're putting Elliot Spitzer in the same bag as Martin Luther King and people who block abortion clinics for...
Of course I am. Of course I am. The reason why you may find fault with that bill...
Well, I just... It's difficult for me to fathom that.
The reason why you find fault with that is because the law that he is looking to legalize is a law that is controversial. He is looking to overturn... the restrictions and the prohibition of prostitution, that's not something that's going to get you talked about in a sixth grade class. That's not something that is going to get you invited on a television program, the kind of TV programs that Dr. King or some of the pro-life people have been invited on. That is a lonely, lonely road. And you know, Phil, that it is a lonely road that the martyr walks. Elliot Spitzer has walked on that road, a lonely, cold road. He is walking on that road even as he has this CNN job. And not one day after he does his television show, the whore whose business he was trying to legalize calls him lousy in bed and says he looks like a gremlin. That tells you something about people.
Maybe it tells you something about the business. You know?
No. I refuse to believe that. Elliot Spitzer believed, I believe, many of us believe, that prostitution, when legalized, will attract decent women, decent human beings, who aren't lying whores, but are decent women trying to feed their families. And when that day happens, Phil, I think a lot of what Elliot Spitzer's been through will finally be worth it.
877-876-PHIL, Margaret. I'm going to take a break here. Margaret Gray with us. Elliot Spitzer, a martyr to the cause of legalizing prostitution.
And not just him, but a great many other men that were arrested in that sting as well.
All right. Well, I don't know how many of those guys were actually involved in wanting to legalize prostitution, but the point that you're making here is he has been kicked, and he has been beaten, and he has been mistrusted, and he has been talked about, and he has been vilified by the very industry that he's been attempting to help, the industry of the sex trade. And including this Kristen Davis, who called him a gremlin. 877-876-PHIL is the real hypocrisy here, the prostitution industry, which is mocking Elliot Spitzer on his new TV show, even as he took the hit for them in trying to legalize prostitution. That's Margaret Gray's point. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
I think I rolled that out really good.
Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, Margaret Gray back on the line with us from Santa Monica. We're talking about Elliot Spitzer, not just his TV show, Margaret. You're talking about his entire political career that has been basically washed down the drain because of these arrests. And yet you say his martyrship, his martyrdom at the hands of law enforcement to legalize prostitution will serve him in good stead. Now, he's got some competition. He has Glenn Beck. He's got Bill O'Reilly. He has Lou Dobbs. He's got, a lot of people to deal with.
Well, let me tell you what I wrote about that, Phil, because I can tell you this. When we get the story of Elliot Spitzer out there in front of the American people, what this man stands for, that this man's willing to go to jail, he's willing to go to jail for the things he believes in, the legalization of prostitution, even as, and again, I will say it, even as the whore that he kept in business criticizes him. Now, you talk about Glenn Beck. All right, let's talk about Glenn Beck. I said it in my column. You know what I said. He is a degenerate alcoholic.
Which I didn't think was fair.
Well, Phil, what about it is untrue?
I think you put the words degenerate alcoholic. I'm just making that comment.
All right, fair enough. You're entitled to your opinion, but I stand by that. Glenn Beck, a degenerate alcoholic. Bill O'Reilly, a sexual predator and deviant. and that is on the record. We have that, the, you know, facts on our side. Lou Dobbs, who is a Mexican-hating, anti-immigration psycho, is the only word that I can use. These are the people that an Elliot Spitzer, a man who very calmly and with dignity accepted the scorn of the elected peoples of New York, of the peoples of New York, and resigned on principle. He didn't have to resign, but on principle he did. If they would not support him in his fight, he would walk away, and he did. And you saw the guts that it took.
All right, and you're saying that Elliot Spitzer is far more preferable to watch than a so-called degenerate alcoholic, and yet Glenn Beck's story is one of recovery and one of redemption.
Well, that's what he wants us to believe. That's what he's selling. That's what he's selling this week. Let's see what the what he has in supply next week. What other supply of you know what he's got in next week?
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I have lost my engineers, I have lost my connections. We have to go remote to Albert. We're going to go remote to Albert on the Phil Hendry Show. Open up the line to the caller, Albert, please. Albert, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just have Albert, a problem believing. I have a problem believing that morality has degraded this far in this country. Somebody could disguise disgrace for benevolent or morality. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I beg your pardon?
I'm sorry?
I beg your pardon? What do you mean?
I can't believe that you could mistake him resigning in disgrace for taking a moral stand.
He was standing up for the rights of sex trade worker.
Yeah,
and in so doing, lost his job, spending his money.
But the man is saying, Margaret, that...
No, I know what the man is saying. He doesn't agree with Spitzer's stand on prostitution. That's fine. But I don't think you have to paint the man...
No, I think what he's saying is Spitzer didn't take a moral stand on prostitution. He just got caught patronizing...
No.
He got caught patronizing...
No. Elliot Spitzer was out front on legalizing prostitution and was willing to be arrested for it so that we, you and I, and this gentleman, could be better educated. He dragged us into the future, kicking and screaming. And for that, I'm
Why do we need to be further educated on the oldest profession? Come on. That's ridiculous.
On the legalization,
the legalization
of prostitution. Well, you call him a sexual degenerate. Why? Because he likes women? I don't understand.
No, because he likes women. Because he's engaging in illegal activities, you know, for his sexual gratification.
At the same time,
a public servant.
He's engaged in civil disobedience, and I can understand the gentleman not wanting an elected public official engaging in that. I think it's a judgment call. He did it on principle. Martin Luther King did it.
Martin Luther King, let's not bring up Martin Luther King, okay? Martin Luther King was, that was civil rights. You talk about anti-abortion people, and Elliot Spitzer, you say, was engaged in an act of civil disobedience by getting arrested, frequenting a prostitute.
Well, absolutely, Phil. What am I not saying that isn't clear to you, gentlemen? He was making a statement. He was taking a stand. If you want to put it this way, he took his clothes off, yes. He took his pants off, whatever, yes. And in taking his pants off, he was telling everyone, take a look at what I'm about to do, because this can be legal.
Now, did he call the press before he went to the whorehouse? Come on. Did he have a camera
crew
waiting
for him? Did he
call
the press?
I mean, if it was an act of civil disobedience, he would have had a camera crew waiting for him before the cops got there.
He's not going to get arrested then. What's going to happen then is a carnival, a freak show. He wanted maximum impact, and that's
what he got. I'm quite sure that you're an expert on freak shows.
Well, whatever you want to say, sir. I haven't seen you, but I can bet it's not too pleasant. Thank you, and have a pleasant, very pleasant. I can't even spit it out.
All right, anyway, thank you very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. What was wrong?
I can't. That redneck.
All right, we'll be back with more Margaret Gray, Elliot Spitzer, a martyr to the legalization of prostitution, and the whore that is still ripping into him on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Have a very pet. Poodle, poodle, poodle.
Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL with Margaret Gray, and the story of Elliot Spitzer, who was the governor of the state of New York, who was arrested frequenting prostitutes and lost his job. Essentially, didn't lose his job, but he did resign, probably a couple of steps ahead of being impeached and thrown out of office. Margaret, you are saying that all of this was intentional on his part, and it was to legalize prostitution, and now he's being bashed by the very prostitute that he was trying to help, this Kristen Davis, and his moral stand is one of one that we should admire, not be repulsed by. You even went so far as to say that Glenn Beck is a degenerate alcoholic and Lou Dobbs an immigrant basher.
I don't mean anything. I can recap what I said. I know what I wrote in my column, and I stand by every word of it. I don't know why it is we... You know, it really sometimes causes me such distraction that I consider resigning and leaving the business of journalism to people who are less intelligent, because that's really what's happening. I wrote a very, very reasoned... And I have to tell you, what I wrote this morning in my column was a reasoned and explosive defense of Elliot Spitzer's civil disobedience. That's right.
So you're claiming he didn't get arrested. He purposely walked in there and got busted for the...
He didn't purposely walk in there and get busted. He did get busted, but he got busted doing something that he believes should be legal. All right. I wrote a very good defense of that. And yes, I did say that Glenn Beck was a degenerate drunk. I did say that Lou Dobbs was an immigrant basher. I did say that Bill O'Reilly was a sex deviant. I did say that all of these people that presume to educate us on the issues of the day are, in comparison to an Elliot Spitzer, morally degenerated. That would mean morally degraded. They're not bad people. But in comparison to Elliot Spitzer, you're looking at a Dorian Gray situation. If a Lou Dobbs were to look at an Elliot Spitzer, Lou Dobbs looks like Dorian Gray. He is decayed. He is, the flesh is falling off his bones. So let's talk about what happened. All right.
Elliot Spitzer is morally superior to...
Let me, first of all, can I tell you something? Because Frank said, you sound a lot like Anderson Cooper when you go, let. You're stuttering a little bit like it. Hold on a minute.
Well, I didn't want to understand.
Frank, come here.
Yeah.
What did I tell you?
Young man, how are you doing?
Frank, how are you?
Margaret told me this morning, he was writing a column. And he told me that...
Can you hold on, Frank, for a minute?
What?
Yeah.
This gender confusion, he's referring to you as he and...
Yes. Will you just get past it, for God's sake? For God's sake! Every time...
I have an audience that needs to be brought up to speed.
Well, tell your audience.
Okay.
Thank you. Now,
hold on for a minute. Frank Gray, Margaret's husband, gets gender confusion because the man has a biochemical imbalance.
You can tell people he has a raging infection. It is a lifelong infection brought on by a sexually transmitted disease. I think people need to know that.
All right, fine.
Anyway, Phil, you there?
I'm here, Frank.
So he's writing the column last night, and he says, Elliot Spitzer, like that. And I said, what about Glenn Beck and Bob Dobbs? And he said that they're all especially Glenn Beck. She's an alcoholic. Bill O'Reilly, she's a whatever she is. A thing.
Glenn Beck. No, even Frank, and you know Frank agrees with you on a lot of things, Phil. Even Frank agrees with me.
Even Frank, a guy who calls her him. Okay.
But why do you attempt to paint him as a gibbering lunatic? Yes, he has the gender confusion. He's a man of 70. How many people at the age of 70, when they're looking at a man, will say him instead of her? I think most people will probably say her because they are...
Oh, come on. What do you think, people at 70 years of age, and they've lost their ability to comprehend who and what they're looking at?
No, but they confuse the word. Let's go there, Phil. The second thing I want to say is I was looking... Frank, what was I doing this morning?
Well, I was going to say, Phil, he was looking through the RSS feeds. He was looking in the news, and he wanted to find his column, but instead they didn't have his column. They had comments from the whore, and he was making comments. So the whore in the race.
Give me the phone.
Is that good?
Yeah, that's fine, Frank. Go lie down. Or whatever you were doing.
I've got some Hennessy out here at the pool.
So you can see that this morning the RSS feeds... Every single individual RSS feed featured the comments of this whore, the whore, instead of me. That is the moral tear, Phil. That is the moral chasm. That is, well, in point of fact, Phil, that is the moral dilemma of our country. And
all right, so in other words, your comments about Elliot Spitzer needed to be, printed instead of this Kirsten Davis, because this woman is whatever the hell she is. She's a whore. And instead, they printed her comments. Now, if you want prostitution legalized, as you claim Elliot Spitzer wants prostitution legalized, and he's willing to get arrested for it, then what, why not comment, have the hooker's comments in there?
Well, she's a prostitute, but she doesn't really know. I don't understand your comment.
Well, you're not going to have the whore because all he wants to do is take his dress off. He's not going to,
Hold on, Frank. I'm talking to Margaret, if you don't mind.
Mike, I've got a dog in this fight.
You understand Frank got the gonorrhea.
I've got a dog in this fight, okay? Because I was with the hooker, and he was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen, and I asked him to marry me. And
I said, yes, I'm kidding.
Isn't he wonderful?
Yeah, that's real funny.
Oh, lighten up, will you?
What got up your rear end?
Anyway, so I had a prostitute, and he was a wonderful girl, and he treated me. But I look what happened to me. So I think when you talk about prostitutes, while it is a noble business and one that is, I think, full of some of the finest human beings I've ever met in my life. And
prostitutes?
Yes, prostitutes. Prostitution.
The prostitution, the finest human beings you've ever met?
Some of the finest women I've ever met in my life that I would compare only to my mother I met were prostitutes. Those women work very, very hard. And I said to one of them, he had just gotten done putting his garter belt back on. And I said to him, I can't thank you enough for the quality of the woman that you are. And he said to me, well, you're one hell of a man. And I said, thank you. And he walked out. And I said, oh, you forgot your underwear. And he grabbed it. And
you're talking about a woman?
Of course I'm talking.
The gender confusion?
Okay, fine. I can't. What am I supposed to do? Sit here talking to this guy? He can't talk right?
He can't. Did he talk right?
Phil, talk much?
No, Phil.
You know, if we're going to turn this into a big fat joke, all right.
Phil, the whore is going to wind up on that Degenerate O'Reilly show. She'll be a guest on Fox and Friends. She'll be giving that, what's her name, Frank?
Yeah, that Gretchen Carlson. Boy, he's a real. He's always got his legs open.
Yeah, she'll be giving her pointers. Why aren't I being booked on these shows? Why am I not being interviewed? Why am I not being asked my take? You know why? Because they can't stand the fact that a woman like me knows more than they do. They're miserable.
they're miserable because their mothers are sleeping with
them. Garbage man.
All right, well, Margaret, a little bird told me is available to people how many times a week?
Available to, what do you mean by that?
How many times a week is it?
It's three times a week on national syndication.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Next hour we have nice going, okay? And
Frank, just want to remind you something.
Yeah, Frank.
Listen, I wanted to know if you could come over for a drink this weekend. He's having some girls over, and I thought you and me and the guys, we could have a poker game. You know Bill Carlson, right?
Yeah, I know Bill, yeah.
She's coming over, and she's bringing her son, Ted, and Ted's a great poker player. I think she's actually played in Vegas. So we'll have all the guys, and she'll bring the chips. And
Who?
Ted and his dad.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah, I think I can play.
Oh, good, okay. She says she can play.
All right, thank you very much.
Wait a minute.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The Parent Television Council's back in the news. They're mad at the TV show Glee. And Pastor William Renick, next hour, on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Get that thing.
Yeah, I know. Bud and Robert were giving me a hard time. Welcome back to our show, Phil Hendry Show here, and our website, philhendryshow.com. And I'll tell you, if you don't have a backstage pass to watch our live streaming video and listen to our live streaming audio, you miss exciting things like when the camera falls off of the stand and hits the floor. And in this most recent episode of the camera falling off the stand and almost hitting the floor, it didn't quite hit the floor. It was swinging by its cable back and forth. And when I looked at the viewer, when I looked at the monitor, I just saw like the wall, kind of like it was a drunk scene.
Yeah, just going all over the place.
Yeah, that's great. So,
man, why don't you get something like a stand for it?
I'll get a stand for it. I'll do something with it. We're getting the tri-camera, aren't we?
Yeah, but until we get the tri-camera, you got to find a stand for that thing.
I want to be able to move it around, okay? We're going to have a three-camera shot, so until we get that, I don't want to get anything fast and furious, and, you know, I don't want to nail anything to the floor as it is. 877-876-PHIL. Coming up next hour, we have Pastor William Renick of the Joyful Union Congregation. He's going to be talking about a really weird story, man, and very sad, and as jacked up as the Tiger Woods story. Brett Favre exposed Deadspin.com, some sports website that specializes in athletes who, you know, are scumbags. They say they've got the videotape showing still photographs of Brett Favre exposing himself in emails to a reporter, a woman by the name of Jen Sturger, who is actually a TV personality with gangrene. Gangrene is a nickname for the New York Jets because of their green uniform. What gangrene is, I don't know if it's a booster club or if it's just an adjunct or a sort of a media sidebar to the team's activities. I don't know. But Renick is going to be up talking about that in a few minutes. Here's a story that is, anyway, here it is. And I showed this video, like, during the pre-show. Did you guys see this thing?
Yeah, I saw that, man. I think it's right.
Well, now hold on. This is a cartoon. It's a satire, you know?
Yeah, you say it's a satire of the people with a hood.
Yes, that's the clan, that's the Coon Clan.
What do you mean, the Coon Clan?
Well, it's called the Ku Klux Klan, right?
Yeah, you're black, you don't know the Ku Klux Klan.
Just because I'm black, I don't have to know all about it. How come you don't know about it?
I do know about it. This jackball called it the Coon Clan.
Well, I you know,
that's what I thought it was.
Well, it ain't. It's the Ku Klux Klan. Now, in this cartoon, which I showed to my video viewers, and I'm doing it again, if you go to our website, I feel like Art Bell now. Go to our website, and you can see right there. But anyway, go to our website, and you can see in the video cast, it's two Klans peoples And they have their hoods, and they're standing in front of a tree, and the tree has a noose hanging from it. And the caption reads, "Honey, this is the tree where we met." Now, it is a perfectly acceptable piece of satire. In point of fact, the newspaper, which is a on-campus newspaper for Eastern Michigan University, the Eastern Echo, said, and I quote, "The cartoon points out the hypocrisy of hate-filled people. Its intent was to ask, how can someone show affection for one person while at the same time hating someone else enough to commit such a heinous act as hanging?" You know what? It doesn't even take a third grader. I mean, a second grader would understand this. A first grader. It's a pretty straightforward and completely acceptable piece of social commentary that one would expect to see in a campus newspaper, especially young people who are developing their journalistic styles and their worldview, and they're developing their skills with regard to putting out a daily newspaper or however often they publish this. This is the stock in the trade of a campus newspaper. Campus newspapers are very lively. And we would expect to see something like this in any newspaper, in any national magazine. And yet, because the level of either education is sinking in this country or people, and there may be people listening to me right now that don't understand this. I don't know what to say. But if we can't publish cartoons like this, then we're in a world of trouble. A world of trouble. Some members of the student body were offended by the comic, calling it inappropriate. Why? Why?
Because it's got a picture of a Klansman.
So all pictures of Klansmen...
No, but I mean, they're making a cartoon out of a Klan man, you know.
Yeah. See, they're trying to make it funny.
The Klan is funny. Hitler was funny. They make jokes about Hitler. Evil is... You can geld evil more quickly with humor than with anything else. You can make pure evil look asinine if you use the tool of humor and satire deftly and wisely. You can completely disarm evil. So, but you guys are saying don't use that tool. You guys are saying what? Just deliver back to the evil itself.
Well, you're always saying nothing stops violence like violence.
Yeah, what about that?
Nothing does stop violence like violence, but this isn't violence. This is a cartoon.
Yeah, but I think it's emotionally violent.
Oh, will you stop already with that jazz? It's emotionally violent. It's a cartoon. It may be offensive when you don't understand it. Let me ask you something, Robert. Okay?
What?
You don't get that now.
About what?
When I explained it, when the newspaper explained it, two Klans people talking about a romantic moment when they met at the tree where they met, where there's a noose hanging. You don't understand that that's pretty... It's almost like saying nobody in the Klan can fall in love because look at what they do. They target innocent people, murder innocent people, and so therefore they have forfeited their ability as human beings to love.
I mean, I understand it now that you explained it.
But before, you would have just had it censored.
Yeah.
Well, why? I mean, what's the point, man, if people can't express themselves and because you don't understand it, you have that censored.
On account of it's defensive and everything. Everybody knows if it's offensive, you can't do it. Everybody know about it.
Everybody doesn't know that.
Yeah, they do. If you put some offensive like that, you gotta have it. You gotta take it out. Everybody know, like you said.
Everybody knows what, man? There ain't no law.
If you say like the N-word, you can't do it.
Who said the N-word, man? We're talking about a cartoon with two Klans people. And in the cartoon, the hanging tree is there, and they say, "Honey, this is where we met." You guys got to get hip to this, okay? Because what you're basically doing is you're taking out of the hands of people who are every bit as much opposed to this kind of hate as you are. You're taking away from them a very powerful weapon, the weapon of satire and humor.
I don't know, man. You can't have no... have you ever been lynched? Of course you ain't never been lynched.
Have you?
No, but I know people in my family have, going way back.
All right, so people in your family have, going way back. There's no, and it was a horrible thing, right?
Hell yeah, it was a horrible thing.
All right, so here we take a cartoon depicting people involved in that kind of activity as morally confused, morally bankrupt, simpletons. They're not politically motivated. They're not firebrands. Believing fervently in some racial philosophy. These are a couple of idiots that stand there at a tree with a noose and say, oh, wow, this is where we met. How romantic. It shows them to be psychopaths. It shows them, in my opinion, to be worse than that. They're almost like psychotic in the way they view the world.
I don't know, man. Yeah, like he said, the Coon, or not the Coon Clan. What do you call it?
It's called the Ku Klux Klan.
Well, but it was the same thing.
How do you spell that?
K-U-K-L-U-X-K-L-A-N. Anyway, as a result of the cartoon, they're holding a panel for students to discuss topics such as the role of imagery and its use in the media. They have to educate these dim bulbs at Eastern Michigan University on what imagery is, on what historical perspective is, on what satire is. Wow, that's something you got to have figured out when you're in high school. All right, we'll be back. Pastor William Rennick here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Let me see that cartoon one more time. That looks like you.
No, man, it looks like you. It looks just like you.
Phil Hendry.